which is the more relaxed culture, I would say that's the kind of the Mexican culture where they arrive 30 minutes. Well, they start 30 minutes late, you know. We would call it late, right? And in the Midwest, if you are not there 5 minutes early, you're late. That was one thing that took us a few years, actually a couple of years, to realize. And then we're like, wait, this, you have to be there sitting down with your pencil and your paper 5 minutes early, or you're considered late at the meetings. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about being ready, being prepared, being watchful this morning. We've been talking about the table. That the kingdom of God is like this and that. Jesus talked about these parables, and he talked about the kingdom. And this one that we talked about last week was about a continuation of this week and next and following, is really the overarching of the table of the kingdom, of this banquet that Jesus is preparing for us. And are we prepared? Are we ready for that? Have you ever woken up from a dream and it was so real, and you woke up and your heart was pitter-pattering because you dreamt that you were late for something, and it was very important, and you woke up and then you realized it was Saturday morning and you had no meetings? Have you ever done that? Or you did wake up late and it was true. You did have a meeting, you did have an appointment, and you were late. I've had these conversations with Eric, him and I, over the years, of waking up late for church. I mean, being the pastor, that is. I mean, I've had too many of these dreams. Waking up, well, dreaming that I was preparing for the sermon, and I was somewhere else, and I had not calculated how to get from A to B, and I wasn't ready. And I'm sure those dreams have happened to you in your realm of life, but they've happened to me. And so it gets your heart going, and it's a horrible feeling, not being ready, being late, and not having things prepared for whatever you're supposed to be prepared for, whether it's a meal, whether it's a meeting, whether it's work, or maybe it's an appointment that you, if you don't make that appointment, you will not be able to have an appointment for another 6 weeks, right? And so it's not a good feeling. So how to be prepared? We learn in Boy Scouts that phrase, be prepared. And what does that look like? What does that mean, be prepared? Well, the meaning of the motto was that a scout must be prepared, prepare himself by previous thinking out and practicing how to act on an accident or emergency, so that he is never taken by surprise. So you act it out. You it's like doing a fire emergency, acting out what would happen if you had a fire. You get prepared. You put the ladder out the window. You climb out the window. You climb down the ladder, and you're like, whew, okay, if that ever happens, then I'm prepared. And so what to do if there is a fire, or what to do if there is an emergency. Some people are prepared in life. Some people are prepared for emergencies. Some people are ready, and some people are not. And right now I'm talking the physical side of life. But we're going to transition into the spiritual life. Are people prepared? Some are, some are not. And so today's parable is about the kingdom of heaven, and what will it be like, what it will be like, and what it will look like for those who are prepared and those who are not. it will be like 10 bridesmaids. And there is an urgency in this parable. There is Jesus has just shared with the disciples what it will look like in the end times. And then he shares a couple parables about what it will look like, the kingdom of heaven will be like. And so let's turn to Matthew 25, 1 through 13. That's primarily the parable that we're looking at today. And of course, there are different, there are things in this passage or in this parable that might trigger something from something you've read prior or something that you've read in Revelation. But this is what Jesus says at that time, verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven, so he has just told them that this and this and this is going to happen. And then he says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins or bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the bridesmaids woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some of for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins, or the bridesmaids who were ready, went in and with him to the wedding banquet. The door was shut. Later, the others also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now, there's some things that you should really take note of, we should take note of, and that is the primary point at the end. Therefore. He tells this parable, and then he says, therefore, keep watch. Be prepared. Be aware. Keep looking and being aware. Now, I have some candelabras here, and if you can see, some of them have a lot of oil. This one has just a little bit of oil, and we'll see how they do. But this one might not work very well because it's got very little oil. It won't last very long. And the bridesmaids, you know, this is modern day oil, but I'm guessing they had, you know, something to carry it with, a rope and a clay pot, and they'd carry the oil with them. But as you noticed, and I also have this one here, this is kind of cool. This one here is, hopefully Pastor Matt doesn't burn down the house. But this one has this little knob here, it's kind of cool, you can turn it down and up. But if you notice in the parable, they all had candles. They all had these candles with possibly a little bit of oil, but only 5 of them took extra oil with them. In fact, these are kind of fancy. My guess is they had a stick, you know, a pole, and they had cloth, and they poured oil on the cloth, and it burned like a torch. When I do reading and I look it up, and you can look it up yourself and look at the commentaries, but they could have had just a pole with cloth and oil, but those supposedly only lasted like 15 minutes. And so they had to put oil on them on a regular basis to keep it burning. So in this parable, a couple things. Number one, I'll give you the simplest, right? You probably already know this, but the bridegroom represents Jesus. The groom is Jesus Christ. And in this parable, it is describing his return. In the Old Testament, see, we're losing light because there's little oil. In the Old Testament, God is pictures himself and tells Israel that he is the husband of Israel. And in the New Testament, Christ is pictured as the groom, the bridegroom of the church. And the church is represented as the bride. And so when you look at this passage, when you look at this parable, you need to put into consideration that there is a wedding, there is a bride and a groom, and there are bridesmaids, and the bridesmaids are to be ready to bring in the procession, to bring in and prepare for the bride. And so, in the end, spiritually speaking, the church, the bride, is going to come because it's going to be prepared. Jesus is going to come for its bride, and the bride should be prepared. The bride and the bride, the bridesmaids need to prepare the bride. And so, being ready in our lives, not just the physical, I'm going to pack a bag, I'm going to put band-aids and blankets and, you know, water, but spiritually speaking, what should you and I be doing to be prepared? What does it mean to be ready? What does it look like? Now, if you look and you see, the bridesmaids were all sleeping. So it's not necessarily indicating that sleeping is a bad thing in this parable, but while they were sleeping, they got drowsy and they fell asleep, and they were woke up by the call of the groom, the groomsman coming. And so we may be working and eating and sleeping and going to a play and having conversations and having connections with people and having dinner with them. And yet what's important in this parable is whatever we are doing, we should be doing it in such a way that we don't have to make things right, like get more oil, that we are ready when he comes. Now, in this parable, it doesn't indicate that oil is a specific thing, but as you look through Scripture, you see that oil represents the Holy Spirit many times in Scripture. And so you could imply that the Holy Spirit needs to live in us. That is the preparation. In fact, let me go even simpler and say the first thing that we need to do to be prepared for the King is to be born again. And when we are born again, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes in and fills us. And what I could sit down and have a conversation with you about whether or not you can lose that oil. That's not the point. The point is, are you pursuing Christ? Are you allowing His Holy Spirit to fill you? Are you prepared for His coming and this banquet that He is preparing, this eternity that He's preparing for you and me? Now, next week we're going to talk about, we're going to have potluck, And I'm not going to be here, but you're going to talk about the talents, which is the next parable. And my guess is that's going to be about other people and what we're doing to prepare the rest of the world. How can we be the salt and light, and what are we doing for God's kingdom? But this week, let's pretend that we're in an airplane, and that phrase that they say, put your mask on first, and then put the mask on for other people, or your kids, or whatever. So, asking the question, where am I at? Where is my heart? Am I born again? Am I trusting God? Have I allowed Him to come into my heart? Have I put my trust in Jesus? And the second thing is, when we trust Jesus, when we put our trust in Jesus, we are filled with the fruit, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which is indicated in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control, right? So all those things should be, those are evidences of the Holy Spirit, that you are filled with oil and the Holy Spirit is filling you up and you are living, it is bubbling in your lives. And a third thing that I would say is an indication of you as a person spiritually being prepared, and that is that you are desiring holiness less than sin. Now, I've heard people say, yeah, overnight I quit drinking when I came to Christ. And yet I've had a friend or two along the way that still had the codependency or the alcoholic tendencies, and still there was this process of God working in that person's life, even though they had stopped the addiction. And so my point is, it's not like instantaneous. You're going to be completely holy. Yes, you are holy in God's sight, but there is a process, and you should be increasing in that desire in holiness and less in sin. And one day you find yourself, man, I just don't want to do those things anymore. And the last, well, fourth thing I just wanted to identify, and that is consistently seeking His presence. Like every day. Like every moment. You're like, if this is it in life, like, ooh, that was really fun yesterday. But is this it? I mean, is this the 80 years or 60 years or 50 years and that's it? No, actually, that's not it. In fact, when we seek God's presence, it is a consistency, it is in something that we need to be doing on a daily basis, because eternity is to be with Christ. Whether you choose, if you choose Christ, you're with Christ. If you don't choose Christ, you're without Christ, right? It's simple. One of the best passages communicating what grace and faith looks like in a believer's life is Titus 2. Titus 2, 11 through 14. I want to read this to you. Do we have it up on the screen? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Sanctification is a big word, but that really means set apart. from sin, but it is set apart to something. So we are set apart from sin, we are set apart to Christ. And so by the grace of God, when we put our faith in Christ, He fills us up with His Spirit, and we see transformation in our lives. And we have the kingdom of God is actually present in our lives. So getting back to the bridesmaids. There's five bridesmaids who have this extra oil, and it represents the true born again who looking for Christ's return. They have saving faith. They have determined that whatever happens, even if it seems like Jesus, the king, or the groom is taking a long time to come through hard times and difficult circumstances, when Jesus returns, they will be ready. And so are you ready? You don't need to raise your hand or answer that. They have saving faith that determines their destiny. There were five bridesmaids without oil, which represents false believers who enjoy the benefits without the true relationship with Christ, without the true relationship with God. They care about the party and not about the host or the bridegroom. They're there to kind of get in because they know somebody, but really you need to know the groom. Think about Americans, and just because you're an American doesn't mean that you're a believer or a Christian, or doesn't mean that you are in the bridal party. And so really it has to be authentic. It has to be true. In fact, Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7. It's a very stark reality in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And so, really, the question is, are you right with Christ? Have you accepted Him as your true Savior? Are you seeking after Him on a daily basis? May we not be found going away, trying to make a purchase at midnight for oil. If you look at the passage, you realize that it was midnight, and a lot of places, even the modern day, you couldn't find oil. But in those days, it's surprising that they found oil, right? But they did. And they came back, and they were too late. Now, I was talking to a friend of a friend. I was talking to a friend that told me about a friend who is an atheist. And it was kind of humorous, but not really, because it was like, are you serious? This person actually said that? He says he's an atheist. And he was telling my friend that if he fell off of the roof, that between the roof and the ground, he would cry out to the Lord to save him. Now think about that. You fall off a roof, you fall down to the ground, you die, and how fast does that happen? And some people don't have that time frame. Some people do. Some people have a day or a week or whatever, but we do not know the time or hour that we will pass away from this life. We do not know the time or day that Jesus will come again. So be like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout and be ready. Spiritually speaking, right? Is your heart right with God? Are you ready? Luke puts it this way in chapter 12, verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, keeping your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks on your door, you can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose masters finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at any hour when you do not expect it. Now, you lock your doors, right? Maybe you don't in Sweet Home. But you have a ring, right? Now you have a video camera. You have a gun. Maybe you have a gun hidden. I don't need you to tell me whether or not you have a gun. But you have some way to prepare for someone if they broke into your house, right? In the same way, Jesus is telling us to be prepared, because Jesus will come like a thief in the night, when we least expect it. Be dressed. Be ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for a master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, you can immediately open the door for him. Be prepared and protect your house, spiritually speaking. Protect it from evil. Revelation 19 also says this, and of course these are remnants of what we're seeing in Matthew 25, but let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God, his holy people. And so the bride has made herself ready. The bridesmaids are preparing the processional. They're getting all the flowers and everything ready. And the table, the banquet is set. And so this is a kind of a foreshadowing, right? This parable Jesus told the disciples about. 2,000 years later, we're here in Sweet Home, Oregon, United States of America. And we're like, okay, where's the bride? Where's the groom? And the point is not that it's been 2,000 years, but the point is that, are we ready? Are we ready, spiritually speaking? Are we going to be like the five foolish bridesmaids that don't have enough oil? Or are we going to be like the ones that have enough oil, that they're carrying it with them wherever they go, whether it's to work, whether it's to school, whether it's to church, or whether it's the grocery store? We are prepared for Christ's return. Now there's the other side of it, and that is the afterlife. And some people don't believe in the afterlife. In fact, recently we've seen a lot of comedians pass away and that we look up to. Like Betty White was one of the great comedians. Loved just laughing at just how she talked and acted and everything. We recently lost Bob Saget, who was a comedian. And I came across this because Greg Laurie shared this just a few days ago, and I wanted to share it with you. He said that Bob Saget made a statement on Instagram about Betty, and then he passed away later. And he says this, "She always said the love of her life was her husband, Alan Ludden, who she lost in 1981. Well, if things work out by Betty's design in the afterlife, they will be reunited. I don't know what happens when we die, but if Betty says you get to be with the love of your life, then I happily defer to Betty on this." He honestly added, "I don't know what happens when we die." And so that's a really big question for us, isn't it? Do we believe, do we know what happens in the afterlife? Do we trust Jesus? Another comedian died last year, Norm MacDonald, and I didn't know this until I saw this, but he died in September from cancer, and he was 61. And he often spoke of the afterlife and heaven, and Larry King interviewed him, didn't know he had the cancer, deadly cancer, and actually MacDonald said he was a Christian. And he says, "I know that it's not stylish, but I am." And Larry King says, "Are you devout? Do you believe in the Lord?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And Larry continued to interview him, and he then asked MacDonald, "Do you think that you're going somewhere when this life ends?" And Norm says, "Yes." And Larry said he could not believe that he personally could not believe in the afterlife because of all the evil in this world. And Norm responded, "It sounds like you have a God-shaped hole in your heart." Which is true. We all have that God-shaped hole in our heart until we come to know Christ. Because then he fills us up and he fills that hole. The last thing, not the last thing in his life, but he once said, Norm MacDonald once said, posted these words, "Scripture, faith, grace, Christ, glory of God." That's pretty cool. But Jesus said he is the resurrection and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. Anyone who believes in him will live, even after dying. And so we can look forward to that, right? We can look forward to that, but how do we prepare? How do we continue to prepare for that coming or that time where we might pass away and see the groom? So for the Christian, the moment we take our last breath on earth, we take our next breath in heaven. Because Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, and he rose again, giving us that hope of life after death. It's not a bad thing to think about these things. C.S. Lewis said, a continual look forward to the internal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. Think about death, but in the sense, he says, eternity and afterlife. But think on it with knowledge that death is not the end. There is an afterlife, but you need to be ready for it. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And so Jesus said that, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me." So only those who are prepared to die are genuinely ready to live. And so that will be the next step, is what we can do to help others. But the first thing is, are you ready? We went to the play last night, yesterday, that my daughter was in. It was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And It was really cool because you've seen the movie, you've read the book. But it just reminded us, it reminded me of how Aslan represents Christ and how Aslan sacrificed himself on the stone in the story, like Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross for us. And they were, the characters in the play were all excited because Aslan came back to life and he ruled and reigned as king. And one of the phrases that is in there that C.S. Lewis wrote in to the story that Mr. Beaver says, because the characters are asking, who is Aslan? And Mr. Beaver says this little phrase that is kind of a, it's kind of like a poetic phrase, but it's true. Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. He will make everything wrong and make it right one day. And so be prepared. Some people are physically prepared for storms. They have a generator, they have water, they have a blanket, and some people are not. And I want to just end with this story. This is a story that you've heard of, and it's a story that has two things in it. One, it's kind of a scary story because that recently there were thousands of people, hundreds of people stranded on I-95 in Virginia. And they were stranded because they thought there was only going to be a few inches of snow, but a foot of snow came down within hours. And excuse me. And so just Tuesday afternoon when I read this, this is probably recent Tuesday, but emergency crews on Tuesday afternoon freed the last of hundreds of drivers stranded by a snowstorm on Interstate 95 in Virginia after more than 24 shivering hours of watching gas gauges drop, rationing food and water, and holding out for any kind of help. A 40-mile stretch of the highway, one of the busiest travel corridors of the United States, came to a standstill overnight after a fast-falling snowstorm led to jackknifed tractor trailers and hundreds of other accidents. Some people abandoned their cars. Many spent the night on the snowy highway. And as people spent a sleepless night in driver's seats and truck cabs, state troopers slowly trudged from person to person, helping when they could with supplies. Tow trucks dragged car after disabled car out of the ice. And so there was a really cool story that came out of this, and that was a couple was sitting behind a bread truck. And I watched part of this video, and I couldn't believe it, but the idea popped in their head, like, at hour 38. I won't hold it against them. I just thought it was interesting that it just, like, light bulb. And this lady gets a hold of the phone number of the owner of that company and calls him. And I have a little clip, two-minute clip of what happened. They interviewed them.
Gosh, that's so scary. Well, thousands of drivers were stranded overnight in frigid temperatures with no sign of help, like Ron was saying. Casey, fortunately, you all made it through the night. So when did you meet Ron?
Yeah, so when the sun rose, it had been about 37 hours to that point since we were last eating, and we were starving, and I had seen the Smith Baking Company truck ahead of us. And John actually made a joke to me about how nice it would be just to have even a loaf of bread at that point of time. And it kind of hit me that maybe there might be bread on that truck. Yeah, I saw it was a Schmidt Bread Baking Company truck, and I just called the customer service line. And my mom did as well. She was so worried about us. And about 20 minutes later, we got a call back from Chuck, and he was absolutely incredible, just the kindest man in the entire world. And he told me to give the phone to Ron, or the truck driver. He didn't know who it was, but give the phone to the truck driver.
Well, and Ron, I mean, at first, are you like, oh, they know I have something on my truck? Like, are there people creeping up on my, like, I would have been freaking out, people walking up on my truck at that point, and I'm like, oh, it's going to get Hunger Games. I was like, because it's not yours, technically. You know, you're driving the truck. So what were you thinking at that point?
Well, I was in the back, like I said, praying, and I finally got up to the front seat, and I seen this lady walking on the ice, cell phone in her hand, trying to hold her balance. I'm saying, I wonder where she going. She can't go nowhere. So she comes to my door and she stops. So I roll the window down thinking she needs some assistance. She said, I'm talking to Chuck from Smith Bakery. He would like to talk to you. So she handed me the phone. I introduced myself. He introduced himself. He asked me if I had a problem opening up my truck, handing out bread. And I said, well, Chuck, this is an answered prayer because I was praying. What could I do to help the people? Because I was getting hungry myself. And I got out, opened up the back of my trailer. John took some. Casey took some. John went south. Casey went north, and I went all around. The cars in front of me, the trucks in front of me. But this one particular lady, she looked frightened. She was like scared. She said she hasn't heard from her family. Her phone was dead. And so I handed her the bread, and then I mentioned to her, too bad I don't have no fish, so I can give you some fish. You have fish and bread. Like, she was happy. She just took it from there. But I think Casey and John assisted me. Thank y'all. Thank
you. Oh, my gosh. And thank you. You must have some kind of direct line. I'm going to send all my prayer requests to you, Ron. I'm like, you have a direct line to God. Gosh, that's so scary.
Well, I don't know how parallel that story is to today's story, other than I thought of Jesus being the bread of life. He is the bread of life. And this guy, Ron, had the supplies. He had, and obviously he had a belief in God. And so he was there ready. He was there with the bread of life, you know, a loaf of bread will last a day, right? But he was there with the bread of life, and it was distributed and ready. And so I was also thinking about the cars. They if you didn't have a full tank of gas, you wouldn't be able to stay warm for very long. And so the question is, are you ready? The question is your tank full? Are you filling it up with the Holy Spirit? Are you filling it up with Jesus? Because Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And are you ready? And next week, will help others get ready too. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for you being the bread of life. Lord, we thank you for you preparing a place for us. And we thank you that you have promised that you will come back again. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, our hearts, to be prepared. Lord, help us not to be stranded with no oil in our lamps. May we be filled up with your Spirit, with you, and may our eyes be watchful for your kingdom, for Jesus, the groom, to come. And may we be prepared and ready. In Jesus' name, amen.